Genesis 27. For a few Lord's Day evenings, we shall consider some expressions of love from the Old Testament. One expression of love is a kiss. And I will read you about one, and then, as time allows, I'll read you more Old Testament kisses. And so in Genesis chapter 27, look at verse 18. This is the very familiar story about Jacob stealing Esau's blessing. And Jacob came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." And now, look at verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, what book but thine own doth present man, even those whom thou hast loved, as they truly are? We are thankful that this is a book of truth. Thou art a God of truth. Thy Son is the truth. Thy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We thank you, Father, for all the truth that it contains. We pray that we shall accept it, the truth as to what we are, what we need to be, the dangers that lurk around us, even though we do belong to thee. And so as we look into these passages in the Old Testament, illumine us from the Holy Scriptures. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We have fellowship together. We have heard the Scriptures. We have worshipped thee. We trust in spirit and in truth. And now again, our Father, speak to us through thy word, through thy servant. Make us clean. We would visit the labor. And our Father, empower us. Thou dost know that apart from the anointing that thou dost give, we have no strength or ability. And for all of these things, we beseech thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I said I was speaking on expressions of love. There are various ways that love is expressed in the Old Testament. I shan't even anticipate and tell you others, but one of them is a kiss. And in the New Testament, that we might not understand falsely and incorrectly kisses as they are given to the children of God, both Paul and Peter tell us what kind of kisses are to be exchanged among the people of God. And Paul says again and again, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." And Peter says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love." The word charity is the word love. And so there are holy kisses and there are loving kisses. And if all the kisses that God has recorded in the Bible fell into these two categories, it would be a beautiful expression of love. But many times, as in the first instance that I read to you, instead of being an expression of love, it is an expression of deception. And so think of this now, all of you young people, I want you to think of this instance of which I read you, of a son kissing his father. That is the parent-child relationship. And here is the father, and he tells his son to come to him and kiss him, and his son does that. But it is no expression of love. And I'm thinking of the young people today. When is the last time you kissed your father, your mother. I've seen signs on bumpers that say, when is the last time you hugged your child, speaking of the affection that parents should have for children, but at the same time, there is the affection of the children for the parents. And here is an expression of love, but it is false. It is a kiss of deception. Now, if something strange happened and you went and kissed your father or mother, what would motivate you to do that? I'm wondering if there are any here who are as base as Jacob was when he went and complied with his father's wish, come near my son and kiss me. And he did. And he said to him, are you my true son, Esau? He said, yes, I am your son, Esau. And so, Isaac receives a kiss from his son, Jacob, that Jacob may have the blessing that belongs to his brother, Esau. Now tell me, why do you show any affection towards your parents? Is it because you love them? Is there sincerity in that kiss? Or is it that perhaps if you show them affection, you can get something out of them? So often this happens. I know of those who would deceive their parents and their relatives with false affection if they were able to receive something. And this is what Jacob does. And so, as you go through life, there are some who never give their parents any affection, and there are some who do give their parents affection, but the affection is empty. It is something that is customary. It has no feeling behind it. And that is why, when Peter speaks, he speaks of a loving kiss. But this is no loving kiss. This is not an expression of love. It is a false expression of love. Not one of gratitude for something that the Father is going to give, but a kiss of deception that he may steal from his father that which was Esau's by birth. Now, I think of this. My mother lived in Raleigh, and I would come up from Goldsboro until the time that she died. And when I would see her, I would give my mother a kiss when I entered her home, and I would give my mother a kiss when I left. And there was never one time that it was a false kiss. There was never a time that I kissed her to receive any inheritance or to receive any material benefit. But it was because that as children are to honor thy father and mother, there was also that love, whether it were great or small, whatever degree of love there was, it was genuine. And I wanted my mother to leave this world knowing that there was not a son who had deserted her, who did not care for her, who did not appreciate what she had done for him through the years. And so when I would see my mother, I would embrace her and give her a kiss when I met her, and I would embrace her and give her a kiss when I left her. Now, all of you young people, think of your parents now as they grow older and see whether they can think back as to having children that love them and show that love, or if they were honest, because parents are easily deceived. A child can say something to a mother and it's a lie, and because that mother so loves the child, the mother can be deceived. And yet others look at that child and they see through the child. And yet there are others who can look back and say, my child loved me, respected me, upheld me in my old age, and I thank God for that child. And so if you young people have not, it is a time to begin. The Bible demands a display of affection. If I have not already spoken on kisses in the New Testament, somehow I may be able to work them in, I would show you that God, when it says, little children, let us love one another, for love is of God, And so you say, well, I love the people of God, but while I cannot explain it now, why would God say no less than 5 times in the Scripture, greet one another with a holy kiss? I will take time to tell you this, that in the Bible, there are some customs that God condemns, things that are customs of men and traditions of men. Let me give you one. It says in 1 Peter, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain manner of life, your traditions handed down from your fathers. And I want you to understand that the Word of God considers the traditions and customs of men, and if they are wrong, He condemns them. But at the same time, He sifts through them, and if they are right, if they are proper, He promotes them. And so He says among the people of God that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss and with a loving kiss. And yet, why, some of you would be so excited you would not know what to do if I came and embraced you and gave you a holy kiss and a loving kiss. You would suspect something, and yet I would be fulfilling the Scripture. I was not taken by surprise when once I was visiting, for some reason, a charismatic church. This was many years ago, and when the man got through preaching about people being saved and lost, I went up to speak to him, and he understood right away that I believed that a man had eternal life and he would never perish. He said, well, as best I recall it, he said, what do you think of this? And he embraced me in his arms and gave me a kiss on the cheek. I said, I think that is a fine scriptural expression that you've just displayed. And he went away talking to himself because he had nothing else to say. And yet it did not take me by surprise, save that he would do it after a conversation about how long a man is saved. But understand that God, when He says, love one another, He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And you may not know it, but the word kiss is the word love. Do you understand that? The word phileo is translated love, and the word phile is translated kiss. And so, if you have love, God not only wants you to have that love in a passive, silent way, but He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, you think that through. You say, but it's not my nature. Well, is it your nature to go and preach the gospel to every creature? To have your hands pure from the blood of all men? You say, no, I'm reticent by nature. Well, is God going to say, well, then you refrain from witnessing? You say, no, God would not say that. He would want me to change what I am by nature, and He would give me strength to do so. Well, just take that to heart, that God says it, and though some say it is a custom and it is not compulsory upon us, I tell you that God weighs the customs and the traditions of men, and the ones that are false, He condemns, and the ones that are proper, He promotes. And this expression of love, and remember, He modifies it, this expression of love must be a holy kiss. It must be a loving kiss. If that is so, then there must be nothing sensual about it, and there must be nothing hypocritical about it. But at the same time, there must be something of sincerity and fervor about it, a kiss of love. Tell me, are you capable of giving all the saints such a kiss? And I'm afraid I know the answer. And that is why God says, greet one another with a holy kiss, with a loving kiss. But many young people I know are quite capable of giving their parents a kiss like unto that which Jacob gave his father Esau. Remember that. This is a kiss of deception. Now, turn over to chapter 31. 31. Because this is a farewell kiss. In chapter 31, let us look at verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives of the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and so forth and so forth, and didst not suffer me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now hast thou done foolishly. Keep that much in mind. And now look over at verse 55. And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Now do not lose this place, but turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And look at verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha. This is Elijah the prophet finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with his 12th. And Elijah passed unto him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left his oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned from following him, and took the 12 yoke of oxen, and so forth, and so on. Now, both of these kisses, turn back to Genesis 31, both of these kisses are alike in that they are farewell kisses, and yet they are so different. Think now, all of you fathers and mothers, because it is such a sad thing. I told you that this book was truth, and if David sins, God tells of it. If Jacob, whom God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, if Jacob is a liar and a deceiver, God tells about it. And at the same time, if in the case of a father and his children, if no love exists between them, God tells of that too. And that is happening so often around us. Now, I told you only from the verses that we read that Jacob took Rachel and Leah and their children, and he secretly departed from Laban, his uncle and his father-in-law. And there was a reason for it. He did not take away by compulsion against their will Rachel and Leah, because, and now look at this, and it's heartbreaking. Look at verse 14. God has just said to Jacob that he was to return to the land of his nativity. And verse 14 says, And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not accounted by him as foreigners? For he hath sold us, and hath also quite devoured our money, for all the riches which God hath taken away from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. And so they leave without kissing Laban, their father, and they had no desire to do it. Some might be taken captive, forced against their will to leave by night, but these two girls with their children leave their father, and they had no feelings in their hearts when they left. And now, at the last though, their father Laban comes out and he overtakes them, and he would threaten Jacob, but God had prevented all of this. And so finally, to carry out formalities, he kisses his daughters and his grandchildren, and he blesses them, and they go their way. A farewell kiss. Now, think of this. All of us And the sad thing is that God has had the same experience in Isaiah. He says, I've brought up children and they have rebelled against me. And so what I'm telling you is nothing that God himself has not experienced. But here you are. You bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in contrast to Laban, because Laban was equal as a deceiver, perhaps superior to his nephew Jacob. But understand this, that if you have lived as a hypocrite before your children, if there is hollowness in your testimony as a child of God, even if there is reality, there is no guarantee to a certain degree, but if there is hollowness, your children can see through it. And so here is Laban, and he says, now I will give you Rachel, my daughter, if you will labor 7 years, and then I will give you Leah, my daughter, if you will labor for me for 7 more years. Do you not think that your children understand how you are dealing with them for material gain? How that you are using them for what you can get out of them? Now here is Jacob, and he is using his father for what he can get out of them. But at times there are parents who would use their children for what he could get out of them. And there is no love, only some crass materialism that exists between people. And finally, after so many years, when the children are free, then they leave. And when they do, they leave without a kiss. And if they do give you a kiss, it is as hollow and empty as the life that you lived before them and the way that you treated them as a father and a mother. And so they leave you, and I can well understand why they leave without a kiss. And so you come, and they allow you to kiss them goodbye, and you bless them. But what are they thinking and saying as you pronounce this blessing upon them? And so here is a farewell kiss, and all there is sadness. But now, any time your children leave home, and the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And so there is a time when a man who loves his parents and his parents love him, their child, he falls in love and he is joined to his wife. And the scripture says, leave your father and mother. And if you do, then you kiss them goodbye and there is sadness. But a different sadness than what I read to you from Genesis 31. And that different sadness is realized in Elisha, the prophet, for this reason. Think of Elisha now. He is home, and I've read of some of my relatives. Some of them would be on the home, farmland, the plantation, working well into their 30s. And then finally, in their 30s, they would get married, and then they would move somewhere else, at times just a few miles down the road to a little part of the plantation that belonged to their father, or sometimes they would buy one of their own, but they left their father and mother, and they established their own farm. And so here is Elisha, and he's plowing, he's doing his father's work, and then the mantle falls upon him. And when it does, he takes up the challenge. And he loves his parents. And there is a difference between what we have in Luke 9, because there is a similarity, I cannot go into that now, and a legitimate desire to go and bid farewell to his parents. He wanted to go and kiss them goodbye. Now that is delightful. Think of the difference. Here are Rachel and Leah, and they have an opportunity to leave home. They go to another country, and they say, let us go. Our father has treated us as chattel. And now, here is a son who is working for his father, and he is called to serve the Lord. And he says, allow me the permission to go home and kiss my parents farewell. And that is granted him, and he goes home and does so. Now, for Elisha to say, Father, you'll have to get someone else to do the plowing now. I'm going. Where are you going? I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, do you realize that there are some parents who, if their children told them that, it would break their heart. It would not break their heart and bring joy. It would break their heart, and they would do all in their power to restrain their children from leaving home to serve the Lord they would hold back a child from God. Yes, that tenaciously do they hold on to their children. But then there are others who say, I knew one day that I was going to lose you, but I can think of no finer way to lose you than in the service of the Lord. And so Elisha bids his parents farewell with a kiss, and there is sadness, but then there is admiration. My son has left home to do something nobler than plowing with cattle. And so you fathers and mothers, pray that. Pray that your children, as it says in Matthew and in Luke, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest, so that when your children leave you, it is not because they are being sent to prison because of the use of drugs. It is not because they are leaving you because they are weary of hypocrisy and pretension and hollowness in the home. But they are leaving you because you have told them the things of God and they have believed them, and now they want to continue in the paths of their parents. As Paul said concerning Timothy, the faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And now here is Elisha, and he goes and kisses his father and mother farewell, but he is going to do a far higher work. He is going to serve the Lord. And so sadness, yes, because my son is gone. And having left my son, having let him go, now I can think of him not lost in a far country, not as that father in Luke 15, where is my son in the far country? But I know that my son is in a far country, but he is serving God, and I shall see that son again. Pray that when your children leave you, there will be a scene not like that when Laban has his children to leave him, not when Jacob leaves Isaac, but like unto Elisha leaving his parents to kiss you goodbye and tell you that he is leaving you because as much as he loves you, there is someone whom he must love more. We must love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then you come next. After God, you come next. And so this is a farewell kiss. And now I want to tell you about a kiss of love, but you must understand that in the Hebrew and in the English language, we have the word kiss and we have the word love. And when you hear the circumstances surrounding that kiss, then even though it's the same word, you modify the meaning of the word love. Well, it is not necessary to do that in the Greek. They have four words for love. If you want a natural affection, a mother for a child, they have the word storge, and they have four different words, which I shall not take time now to elaborate on, but they have four different words, and one of them is a word of lust, and one of them is a word of genuine love, and I want you to see that in the Bible. So turn to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. And you young people, remember this. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. And then it says in verse 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. And it says, verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face she said unto him, and then makes all these sinful suggestions. young person, beware, there is this kind of kiss, and it is one that brings forth death. Who can help but think of the disease that goes around now, that for so many years man sinned with impunity, and there was no fear of such a thing, because there were other diseases in the past, and they were a plague to man, but with science and medicine, they discovered cures, and so man thought he was free, and he could continue in illicit sex and sin, and then a new disease has arisen. And now it strikes terror into the hearts of men, and the statistics will go down. Yes, why? Not because morality is rising, but because fear of this dread disease is rising. And so God has told us about this long ago. And those that fall into this sensual kind of kissing, it says, I saw a youth, I saw among the simple ones. And here is a simple one that is snatched and taken away by this lustful kiss. That's all that I shall say about it. I have warned you. And it says that if you go near this type woman, then her paths lead down to hell. But let me show you this. Turn over to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. And listen to verses 1 and 2. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, this is a legitimate kiss. And this is a book that the people of God are frightened to read. They spiritualize the book. But when the Bible speaks of Adam and Eve, is he speaking of Christ in the church, or is he speaking of Adam and Eve? You say he's speaking of Adam and Eve. Yes. And then they are a picture of Christ and the church. And so when Solomon writes this song, he is speaking of a man and a woman. And there is nothing contrary in the entire Word of God for a man and a woman brought together by God to have these feelings, these emotions within their bosoms, and becoming man and wife to express them. This is what God condemns. In Hebrews 13, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But it says, marriage is honorable in all. And then lest those think that marriage is only for the promulgation of the human race, you will find that that is not so. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. And it says, let the husband render unto the wife her due, and let the wife render unto the husband his due. And when it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. This is something that young people who are not married are to wait for. And this is a privilege and a joy of life that God gives for those who are married. And having been married, then you may kiss him with the kisses of your mouth, and you may say, thy love is better than wine. The same thing, a kiss, but a legitimate kiss in the Song of Solomon, an honorable kiss that God accepts and tells us is allowable. But that kiss with a strange woman, one that is illicit according to what God teaches, it is a path down to death. And so, have patience. Wait on God. Let God bring into your life that good thing, and then experience this expression of love. Some of the kisses in the Old Testament. Let us pray. Our Father, forever keep us from being false. False to our fathers and mothers, false to young women, and young women false to men, and false to one another as children of God. Let us live honorably in the world, and let us not be afraid, Father, of genuine affection. Let us not care what man thinks if God instructs us to do this or that. But let us know what the Scriptures teach, and let us obey the Scriptures. We are thankful for the Holy Word of God. It teaches us in every avenue of life. We rejoice in this. All things that pertain to life and godliness thou hast given us within ourselves and without of ourselves, in the Spirit and in the Word. And so let thy Spirit guide us, and let thy Word be that area of life in which we live. Teach us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.